Welcome to Clark Capital's quarterly economic review and outlook. I'm Patty Quinn McCauley, head of marketing. Each quarter, I'm joined by our two senior client portfolio management leaders, Glenn Dorsey and Pete Eisenrich. They'll be walking you through our five economic gauges that drive our expectations for the market. Glenn, Pete, thank you so much for being with us today. The first gauge we'll be discussing is the economy. And for that, Glenn, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Patty. Just as a reminder, these five gauges represent what we consider the major drivers of stocks over time. So the basic idea is if the gauge is straight up and down or at 12 o'clock, it's a neutral for outlook for stocks. If it's to the right, it's a positive. And if it's to the left, it's a negative. We did have two gauges move backwards and one forwards this quarter. And we'll start off with the economic gauge, which we did bring back one notch to a neutral position. The economy is slowing. We actually had a negative first quarter GDP number. But when we dive down and look at the labor market, unemployment's still low at 3.6%. There are 11.4 million jobs available, far in excess of the number of people that are looking for jobs. So the consumer is really in good shape. And ultimately, the consumer is about 70% of the U.S. economy. So things look good from that perspective. But again, we are in a slowdown mode. The second quarter GDP number, it looks like it might be slightly positive or slightly negative. But earnings continue to be strong. And that's really what drives stocks over time. Pete?
Yeah, one other source of strength in the economy has been the housing market. And I know that not something we talk too much about on these recordings, but it has started to slow a little bit, but from a very elevated level. And that's really been a reflection of higher interest rates. We know mortgage rates have, you know, close to doubled this year, and that's going to take some of the steam out of the housing market, but we still feel the housing market is showing some relative strength in here as we look forward. But as we kind of continue on and we think about the economy and how that's impacting monetary policy is our next gauge, and that is another gauge that we move backward. We move it backward two spots to the half backward position, really reflecting a more aggressive Fed rate tightening cycle that we've been through so far this year. We're all probably aware we've had three rate hikes so far in 2022, but they've increased them. The first one was 25 basis points in March, then we went up to 50 basis points, and then at the June FOMC meeting, we went up by 75 basis points. That was actually the largest increase the Fed has made since 1994. So obviously higher rates create tighter financial conditions, and that is one of the reasons why we're seeing some of this slowing down in the economy. The Fed is clearly focused on one side of its mandate right now, which is price stability, or we call it inflation control, and that is where the Fed is focused. We know the last print of the Consumer Price Index, CPI, was at 8.6%. That was the highest level since the early 1980s. So even though, as Glenn had mentioned, the Fed really has done a good job on the full employment side of their mandate, when we think of the 3.6% unemployment rate, inflation is something that's gotten a little bit away from them when we see that CPI number. So the Fed has told the market, and clearly by its actions, it is raising their policy rates with the goal to kind of slow the price level increases. But we know one of the effects of that is really slowing the overall economy. And that's something we're keeping a close eye on. Glenn, I don't know if you have any other points on the Fed you want to make.
Yeah, even after the three rate increases, that puts the lower end of their target band for the Fed funds rate at 1.5%. It's widely expected to have another 0.5% increase or 0.75% increase this quarter. But even with that, that's really bringing us back to kind of a neutral Fed policy level. They're not really trying to throw us into a recession, which is, I think, the common conventional wisdom, but rather dampen demand a little bit to rein in inflation. So the next part of the equation that we're going to see with the Fed is a reduction in their balance sheet. Their balance sheet went from $4 trillion to nearly $9 trillion, and they've announced plans to start to systematically reduce that, with a cap of $95 billion a month in reduction. So there are months where more bonds are going to be maturing on their balance sheet than they're going to actually allow to roll off. So there'll be plenty of months where the Fed is actually buying treasuries or mortgage-backed securities just to maintain that slow decrease in the balance sheet. And again, this is to rein in inflation. We believe inflation's already in the process of starting to roll over. Our expectation is we'll probably end up somewhere around 4% by the end of the year. In the interim, however, the market has been simultaneously pricing in a recession and inflation that goes on forever. And the result of that is stock prices have gone down at the same time that earnings have gone up. That leads us to our next gauge, which is valuations, which we are still holding at a neutral level, but the PE ratio has really come down quite a bit. In fact, if we look at the PE ratio for this year against operating earnings, it's about 17 times earnings. And looking at it compared to next year's expected operating earnings, we're down to about 15, which relative to the last 25 years or so is actually pretty low. But if you look at a longer time series, we're still in that neutral or fairly valued level for PE ratios. Pete?
Yeah, and I think with the valuations, obviously the E becomes very important, right? The earnings side of what companies earn. And we certainly have been watching where are the earnings revisions coming from. And they really haven't been too material at this point. So I think we were at the high single digit earning expectation at the beginning of the year for the S&P 500. It's come down a little bit, you know, maybe a couple percentage points, but we're still at about 7.5% as the earnings estimate for 2022. So that is something we'll watch closely. We'll watch to see, do companies start to bring in those estimates? But again, I think to Glenn's point, we've really seen the market try to price in if earnings do slow down somewhat. Markets are pricing in this higher interest rate environment. So really, if we think about it, for the first time in a couple of years, there is some more competition to stocks. There is some yield out there. Interest rates have gone up. So that is all kind of, we've seen that play out when we've looked at the valuation side. But as Glenn said, this is really from a valuation perspective, we've seen levels that we haven't seen in the last couple of years. We've seen valuations, and we've kind of talked about them really being more on the expensive side over the last couple of years. With this price adjustment in the stock market, we've seen that valuation improve because earnings have held in there, but that it will be the one component that we do continue to watch. One of the things we're seeing with the stock market volatility is that does kind of lead into investor sentiment and kind of the mood of the market. And we've really seen some pessimism out there in the market. And that's our next gauge. Maybe Glenn, I'll turn it over to you to talk about the investor sentiment side.
Yeah, this is one of the kind of more trickier gauges, and in the sense that the more afraid people get, the more positive this gauge moves. So with the fear level creeping up and the volatility in the market creeping up, we've moved this gauge one notch more positive to be a half forward position. And we look at things like redemptions out of mutual funds. We've seen an extraordinary amount of money come out of stock and bond mutual funds this year. In fact, year to date, we're at about $500 billion in redemptions out of the mutual funds. We've seen the VIX, or the CBOE volatility index, which sometimes is referred to as the fear index, that's shot up. We've been pushing over 30 at points. Right now, it's just a little bit below 30, but that's an elevated level. Long-term average for the VIX is about 19. So typically what you see in market bottoms, we've seen the asset prices go down, and now we're starting to see the fear levels go up. And that's usually the beginning of that bottoming process.
Yeah, and you know, we look at other things like put call ratios, trading sentiment readings. And again, we don't have to really convince you as the advisor that we're seeing a more pessimistic advisor or investor out there, right? I mean, that's, you know, not breaking news to you folks that are talking to clients every day. We're certainly seeing it talking to clients every day as well. But there actually are measurables we can look at with that investor sentiment reading. And that is, you know, what we're seeing. And again, we all wish we were smart enough to try to figure out when an exact bottom is being put in. But we are starting to see some of those conditions that we tend to see as we're going through that bottoming period, because we are seeing excessive levels of pessimism in the market right now. So that's something we do pay close attention to. I always feel this gauge gives us a little bit shorter term reading of what might be happening on the market. This is a very sensitive gauge. It can move very quickly. That is something we do look at. And that is when we did improve this quarter. We moved it to a half forward position when we look at those gauges. It really is one where we are seeing that fear and pessimism picking up to a degree where we think it is kind of giving us that signal that, hey, this is creating conditions where we could be putting in that bottoming period.
Yeah, that brings us to our final gauge, interest rates, which we leave in a neutral position. Now, rates have moved up, and initially it started with longer term rates moving up, and now we've seen a kind of a whole parallel shift up with short term interest rates moving up and long term interest rates moving up. In the last few weeks, what we've seen is actually long-term rates starting to go down. So the market is shifting more away from fears of inflation and starting to focus more on fears of recession, which obviously would lower longer term inflation expectations. And with the Federal Reserve raising rates on the short end, we've actually seen the yield on the 3-month Treasury bill start to move up more than the yield on the 10-year. So we are starting to see the yield curve flatten a little bit, though there still is a positive slope for what we consider to be the most important measure of a chance of recession. And that's the relationship between the 3-month Treasury bill and the 10-year Treasury note. So short-term rates are still lower than long-term rates, though not as much. And that indicates to us that the risk of a recession still is not out there. Now, part of what's going on too does go back and relate to the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve, in an effort also to contain inflation, is reducing its balance sheet. So they're now at a pace where they've indicated they'll reduce their balance sheet by about $95 billion a month. Now, they're not actually selling securities, right? They're letting securities mature and they're not reinvesting the proceeds. And they're going to cap that at about $95 billion a month, which is $60 billion of treasuries and $35 billion of mortgage-backed securities per month. So there will actually be months where the Fed is in buying in the bond market, but maybe not as much as they were before. So that's definitely helped contribute to moving rates up. But when we look at it longer term, rates are still pretty low. And that's why we still have this gauge as a neutral, that combined with still a positively sloped yield curve from the 3-month bill to the 10-year Treasury. Pete, any comments?
Yeah, just one point on the Fed's balance sheet. I do think that's an important point. And the Fed is stair-stepping their way into this. They've actually given us this summer where those caps are a little bit lower. So they're not going full in, letting these bonds mature at that ultimate cap level that we do have this summer, where they're having those be smaller increments to kind of start that deleveraging of their balance sheet. On interest rates, I do think the one really important thing, and Glenn mentioned it right at the beginning, is what's happened in the last couple of weeks. We hit a multi-year high on the 10-year Treasury. It actually closed at 3.49% on June 14th, so kind of middle of the month. You know, that's where rates were really moving higher. A lot of concern about how aggressive this Fed rate hike cycle would be. But it really is telling, if we look at just the last couple of weeks, the way that mood changes. As Glenn said, kind of fear goes more towards, okay, if inflation is going to be a little bit more contained, but we're more concerned about a recession, we really saw those rates come in dramatically. We actually ended up closing the quarter below 3% on the 10-year Treasury. So these are really playing out in real time. We're seeing very dynamic moves in the bond market. I mean, this has been overall a repricing of interest rates, which needed to happen, right? We went from a Fed that was doing quantitative easing last year, buying $120 billion a month in bonds, keeping rates pinned at 0 to 25 basis points, to shifting that to this rate hike cycle. So bonds and interest rates did need to reprice. And that's really what we've seen that had occurred already this year. And we were saying kind of even earlier in the year, we thought a big part of that rate movement had already occurred in 2022. It was a very big move when we think of what happened in the first part of the year, but we have seen rates start to moderate. And again, a couple of weeks isn't a trend, but we've seen them starting to come in a little bit from those really high levels that we saw at the middle of June. So interest rates, you know, really we're still kind of in that neutral camp on them. We do understand there has been this repricing of bonds out there in the market. I look at it where there's, you know, yield out there in the market. So really opportunities for an active bond manager as well to look for times where rates move a little bit higher, get a chance to deploy capital into those kind of environments. So with that, I mean, I think that's really where we end on those gauges. Glenn, I'll turn it back over to you for any final comments.
Yeah, just to summarize, while we did have two gauges become a little more negative, one a little more positive, it leaves us with three of the gauges in a neutral position. So we have the economy, valuations, and interest rates are all neutral. On the negative side is monetary policy. The Fed is raising rates. And on the positive side is we've seen fear levels go up. So investor sentiment is positive. Two notches at this point. So when you put it all together, three neutral, one negative, one positive. The overall outlook continues to be, we think if there is a recession, it's going to be a mild one. We think inflation is rolling over naturally right now. And importantly, earnings still look good. So while volatility is a normal part of being an equity investor, asset prices have come down quite a bit. And there's a lot of good high quality companies and bonds that have gone on sale. And that's the types of opportunities as an active manager we look for. So please reach out to your investment consultant if you have any further questions or if we can help in any way. Thank you very much.
Glenn, Pete, thank you so much for your commentary today, for your thoughts on the markets, and for walking us through our gauges. Clearly, there are some challenges, but also signs of encouragement. And thank you for tuning in. Our client portfolio managers are here to help you help your clients stay on course. If you have any questions or if we can help you with a case, please don't hesitate to reach out to your regional investment consultant. We're here to help. And be sure to subscribe to the Navigator Insights blog for our latest market commentary. That's blog.ccmg.com. Again, blog.ccmg.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Take care and be well.